Peace be upon you. God willing, today we are going to talk about the subject of hadith. So what is hadith? At the time of Prophet Muhammad, it meant something completely different than what it means today. At the time of the Prophet, it meant narrations or sayings. But since then, it has grown into a whole classification of doctrine that are fabrications attributed to the Prophet and held by many in the same standing as the Quran, in some instances is superseding the laws that are in the Quran. And this is a flat-out blasphemy. The Quran tells us that the only legitimate hadith is the Quran and nothing else. In chapter 45, verse 6, we read, "We seek refuge in God from Satan the rejected. These are God's revelations that we recite to you truthfully. In which hadith other than God and his revelations do they believe?" God, being all-knowing, realized that in future generations, people were going to take this word hadith and have a mean these fabrications attributed to the Prophet. And God, knowing this, has put the word hadith in the text of the Quran and has condemned it. In chapter 31, verse 6, we read, "Among the people, there are those who uphold baseless hadith and thus divert others from the path of God without knowledge and take it in vain. These have incurred a shameful retribution." In chapter 12, verse 111, we read, "In their history, there is a lesson for those who possess intelligence. This is not fabricated hadith. This Quran confirms all previous scriptures, provides the details of everything, and is a beacon of mercy for those who believe." As we've discussed in previous podcasts, the Quran is complete, it's fully detailed, and we shouldn't put any other sources beside the Quran. In 6:114 through 1:16, we read, "Shall I seek other than God as a source of law when he has revealed to you this book fully detailed? Those who receive the scripture recognize that it has been revealed from your Lord truthfully. You shall not harbor any doubt. The word of your Lord is complete in truth and justice. Nothing shall abrogate his words. He is the hearer, the omniscient. If you obey the majority of people on earth, they will divert you from the path of God. They follow only conjecture. They only guess." So God is telling us that the Quran is the only legitimate hadith and that nothing shall abrogate his words, meaning that we shouldn't put any other source beside the Quran when it comes to religious laws, prohibitions, and rules. The Quran informs us that some enemies of the Prophet, described as human and jinn devils, will fabricate lies and attribute them to the Prophet. In chapter 6:112, we read, "We have permitted the enemies of every prophet, human and jinn devils, to inspire in each other fancy words in order to deceive. Had your Lord willed, they would not have done it. You shall disregard them and their fabrications." In chapter 25, verses 27 through 31, we read, "The day will come when the transgressor will bite his hand in anguish and say, 'At last, I wish I had followed the path with the messenger. At last, woe to me, I wish I did not take that person as a friend. He has led me away from the message after it came to me. Indeed, the devil lets down his human victims.' The messenger said, 'My Lord, my people have deserted this Quran. We also set up against every prophet enemies from among the guilty. Your Lord suffices as a guide and master.'" So God allows such criminals to produce such fabrications so those who do not believe in God's message will stray from the path. In chapter 25, verse 29, we read, "He has led me away from the message after it came to me." And in chapter 21, verse 10, we read that Muhammad's message was the Quran. It says, "We have sent down to you a scripture containing your message. Do you not understand?" God, knowing the future, has informed us exactly what will happen after the Prophet Muhammad's death. Hadith, oral, and sunnah actions were invented and attributed to the Prophet. Hadith and sunnah are satanic innovations because of three reasons. The first reason is they defy the divine assertions that the Quran is complete, perfect, fully detailed, and shall be the only source of religious guidance. And we saw this in such chapters and verses as 6:19, chapter 6, verse 38, chapter 6, verse 114, and chapter 45, verses 6 through 7. The second reason is that it's a blasphemy against the Prophet and depict him as a vicious tyrant who did not uphold the Quran. And there's numerous examples of this. And the third reason is because it creates false doctrines based on superstition, ignorance, and indefensible, nonsensical traditions. So how exactly did the upholding of such fabrications become so prevalent? God willing, we're going to look at the verses and try to get a deeper understanding of how this all came about. One of the key things in the Quran is that we have to obey the messenger. This is a fact, and we're going to look at these verses. In chapter 3, verse 31 through 32, it reads, "Proclaim, if you love God, you should follow me. God will then love you and forgive your sins. God is forgiver, most merciful. Proclaim, you shall obey God and the messenger. If they turn away, God does not love the disbelievers." In chapter 24, verse 56, it reads, "You shall observe the contact prayer Salat, give the obligatory charity Zakat, and obey the messenger that you may attain mercy." To continue in chapter 72, verse 23, it says, "Those who disobey God and his messenger incur the fire of hell wherein they abide." And in 480, it says, "Whoever obeys the messenger is obeying God." All previous scriptures have stated the same Quranic truth that whoever obeys the messenger is obeying God. Since the messenger obviously is not God, the commandment clearly means obeying the words of God uttered by the messenger. The knowledgeable and the fortunate believers therefore realize that hadith and sunnah are satanic fabrications aimed at diverting people from the path of God. So the clear conclusion is that these hadith attributed to Muhammad are not from Muhammad. Instead, they are hadith narrations of men and women who never saw the Prophet. In fact, their grandparents and their grandparents' grandparents never saw the Prophet. It is well known in the first book of hadith is that Bukhari, who was born about 200 years after the death of Muhammad. When Bukhari wrote his book of hadith, he used to visit people whom he knew as sources. After verifying that the sources are quote-unquote truthful and known as a man or woman of righteousness, Bukhari would ask, "Do you know a hadith?" The person would answer, "Yes." Then proceed to narrate the hadith as follows. This is in quotes. It says, "I heard my father, may God bless his soul, say that he heard from his older brother, may God bless his soul, say that he was sitting with the grandmother, may God bless her soul, and she told him that she was having dinner one day with a great uncle, may God bless his soul, when he stated that his maternal grandfather knew Imam Ahmad ibn Muhammad, who mentioned that his grandfather heard from his oldest uncle that he met the great companion of the Prophet, Omar ibn Khalid, and he told him that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said." Now this is comical, right? I mean, this is, you're going through several generations of people and stories and saying this, and they're saying that the Prophet said so and so. Thus, the hadith is simply a narration by Bukhari's sources, claiming that he or she heard something about the Prophet across eight generations of the dead. On the other hand, we now possess irrefutable physical evidence that the Quran is the infallible word of God, and that it is uttered by the Prophet Muhammad. Therefore, we obey the messenger by obeying the Quran and nothing but the Quran. Obeying the hadith is not obeying the messenger. Instead, it is obedience to men and women who narrated such quote-unquote hadith. Obeying the so-called hadith of the Prophet is in fact obeying a group of simple-minded people who thought that the Prophet had said something more than 200 years before they were born. Thus, if a narrator of a given hadith is, for example, a Abbas ibn Yasir, then obeying the hadith narrated by Abbas ibn Yasir is in fact obeying Abbas ibn Yasir and has nothing to do with obeying the Prophet. The true obedience of the Prophet Muhammad is only by obeying the Quran, which was indeed uttered by Muhammad, and it is supported by indisputable physical evidence, as we saw in a previous podcast. These facts explain that the Quran's repeated statements that only those with intelligence can take heed. The Quran is delivered us through Muhammad's mouth without any mediators or narrators. The Quran came directly through the Prophet Muhammad, and by obeying the messenger, we must obey only the Quran. Anything else is subject to misunderstandings, fabrications, lies, and deceit. Thus, the Quran is the only true hadith of Muhammad. Furthermore, the Almighty has guaranteed that the eternal preservation of his words as uttered by Muhammad is achieved through the mathematical structure of the Quran. In chapter 39, verse 23, we read, God has revealed herein the best hadith, a book that is consistent and points out both ways. And that's both ways to heaven and hell. In verse 27 of the same chapter, we read this example. It says, we have cited for the people every kind of example in this Quran that they may take heed. Again, that's every kind of example. An Arabic Quran without any ambiguity, that they may be righteous. In verse 29, it reads, God cites the example of a man who deals with disputing partners. In this case, it can be the disputing partners would be hadith, compared to a man who deals with only one consistent source, which would be the Quran. Are they the same? Praise be to God, most of them do not know. In verse 30 through 32, it reads, you, Muhammad, will surely die just like they will die. On the day of resurrection, before your Lord, you people will feud with one another. Who is more evil than one who attributes lies to God while disbelieving the truth that has come to him? Is hell not a just requital for the disbelievers? So what is it that these people are going to be feuding about? We actually read it previously in chapter 25, verses 27 through 30, but it's worth reading again. It says, the day will come when the transgressor will bite his hands in anguish and say, at last, I wish I followed the path of the messenger. At last, woe to me, I wish I did not take that person as a friend. He has led me away from the message after it came to me. Indeed, the devil lets down his human victims. The messenger, Muhammad, said, my Lord, my people have deserted this Quran. We see that in the Quran that Muhammad only preached the following of this Quran. In chapter 5, verse 48 through 50, it reads, then we reveal to you this scripture, truthfully, confirming previous scriptures and superseding them. You shall rule among them in accordance with God's revelations, and do not follow their wishes if they differ from the truth that came to you. Verse 49 says, you shall rule among them in accordance with God's revelations to you. Do not follow their wishes, and beware lest they divert you from some of God's revelations to you. In verse 50, is it the laws of the days of ignorance that they seek to uphold? Whose law is better than God's for those who attain certainty? So consistently it's saying we have to obey God's revelations, that if it diverts from what is given to us in the Quran, we should not follow it. That consistently the only source of religion's guidance is this scripture being the Quran. The Prophet Muhammad was enjoined in very strong words from issuing any religious teachings besides the Quran. And we read this in chapter 69, verses 38 through 48, where it reads, I swear by what you see and what you do not see. This is the utterance of an honorable messenger, this being the Quran, not the utterance of a poet, rarely do you believe, nor the utterance of a soothsayer, rarely do you take heed. A revelation from the Lord of the universe. In the same chapter, continuing in verse 44, it says, had he, Muhammad, uttered any other teachings, we would have punished him. We would have stopped the revelations to him. None of you could have helped him. This is a reminder for the righteous. These very clear verses teach us that Muhammad was forbidden from uttering any religious teachings beside the Quran. So if someone comes to you and says, hey, the Quran says this, but I have a hadith that says something differently, you can flat out know that it's a fabrication, it's a lie. But you have to disregard it entirely. Some people compromise and they make such a claim. They say if a hadith agrees with the Quran, we will accept it. And if it contradicts the Quran, we will reject it. Such premises proves that these people do not believe in God's assertions, that the Quran is complete, perfect, and fully detailed. And that the moment that they seek guidance from anything besides the Quran, no matter how right it seems, they fall into Satan's trap. For they have rejected God's word and set up another god beside God. In chapter 18, verse 57, we read, who are more evil than those who are reminded of their Lord's proofs, then disregard them without realizing what they are doing? Consequently, we place shields on their hearts to prevent them from understanding it, and deafness in their ears. Thus, no matter what you do to guide them, they can never be guided. We also read in the Quran that Muhammad ordered never to deviate from the Quran. Deviation meant severe punishment. And this is seen in the example of 17, verses 73 through 75. It says, they almost diverted you from the revelations we have given to you. They wanted you to fabricate something else in order to consider you a friend. If it were not that we strengthened you, you almost leaned towards them just a little bit. Had you done that, we would have doubled the retribution for you in this life and after death, and you would have found no one to help you against us. In setting the example for us, the prophet was ordered to adhere strictly to God's revelations to him, specifically identified in the previous verses we read in chapter 5, verse 48 through 50, as the Quran. The slightest deviation from the Quran, as we saw in verse 74, incurs severe retribution. Muhammad was ordered to deliver the Quran alone without the least alteration and never to fabricate anything else. Our Almighty Creator commands the Quran specifically. Quran shall be the only source of religious teachings, as we saw in chapter 16, verse 114 through 116. Furthermore, we are told that the acceptance of any other sources of religious guidance equals the setting up of other gods beside God. In chapter 6, verse 121, we read, "Do not eat from that upon which the name of God has not been mentioned, for it is an abomination. The devils inspire their allies to argue with you." It says, if you obey them, you will be idol worshippers. Meaning, if we obey any other source beside God, we are idol worshippers. Meaning that if God gives us a commandment, a clear commandment, we defy it by going to an alternative source, we're committing idol worship. In chapter 18, verse 109 through 110, it says, "Say, if the ocean were ink for the words of my Lord, the ocean would run out before the words of my Lord run out, even if we doubled the ink supply. Say, I am no more than a human like you, being inspired that your God is one God. Those who hope to meet their Lord shall work righteousness and never worship any other God beside his Lord." These verses clearly inform us that God does not suffer from shortage of words, that he gave us all the words we need in this Quran, and that we should not seek religious guidance from any other source beside God. There are only two verses in the Quran that describe the Prophet Muhammad as no more than a human being like you. Is it a coincidence that both verses forbid idolatry at the end of each verse? The first verse, as we saw in chapter 18, verse 110, and the second verse is in chapter 41, verse 6. Say, I am no more than a human being like you, who has been inspired that your God is one God. You shall be devoted to him and ask his forgiveness. Woe to the idol worshippers. One of the most popular questions you hear when you tell people we do not need hadith is they say, if the Quran is complete and fully detailed as God claims, where can we find the details of the Salat prayers? This famous question reveals their total ignorance of the Quran and a subconscious effort to prove that God is wrong in his repeated assertions that the Quran is complete and fully detailed. The irony is, there is no hadith which depicts how to do your salat. As we saw in the previous podcast, the salat and all religious duties and rites came from Abraham. The salat, the zakat, the fasting, Hajj, all these came from Abraham and were in practice way before Muhammad or the Quran came to be. Thus, Islam in its final form as practiced today is based on two things. The first one is the Quran, which was contributed by Muhammad. The second is the religious practices that came through Abraham. When people try to make that argument that the Quran isn't complete, fully detailed because it doesn't depict how to do the contact prayer, I ask them the following thing. I say, okay, if the Quran told you verbatim how to do the contact prayer, would you do it? And typically they would say, yes, I would do it. I say, would you add anything more? Would you take anything less? And they say, no, we'd do it exactly like that. And I ask them, how do you do your wudu? How do you do your ablution? And depending on which sect they belong to, sometimes they have as many as 8-9 steps. They wash their nose. They wash their ears. They wash their mouth. They wash their arms 3 times, starting from the right. And the question is, where did these extra steps come from? Because in chapter 5, verse 6, it very clearly says how to do the ablution according to God. It says, O you who believe, when you observe the contact prayer of Salat, you shall 1. Wash your faces, 2. Wash your arms to the elbows, 3. Wipe your heads, and 4. Wash your feet to the ankles. So clearly they're getting commandments from other than God by adding additional steps. Some of the individuals who add these additional steps act as if the Prophet Muhammad could issue a command other than what was commanded for him to do by God. When God gave the Prophet Muhammad 4 steps, it's outrageous to think that the Prophet would add additional steps or additional rituals to this ablution. And we saw from previous verses that had he uttered any other teaching other than what God told him to, he would have been punished and no one would have been able to help him. So it's just not feasible to think that he would add additional steps to what God commanded him to do. Another example of how the hadith has completely contradicted the Quran is in the tone of the contact prayer. Certain sects, they say, you know, their sunset prayer quietly, they say their night prayer loudly, they say their noon prayer silently. And in the Quran, it's very clear in chapter 17, verse 110, it says, say, call him God or call him the most gracious, whichever name you use, to him belongs the best names. It says, you shall not utter your contact prayer salat too loudly nor secretly, use a moderate tone. That's it. So where did they get these other inventions, these innovations that, oh, the noon prayer and the afternoon prayer have to be said silently while the other prayers are said loudly? Where did this come from? Again, these are man-made inventions, innovations that they've called God's law. And by following any law above God's recommendation, God's law, is idol worship. And as we saw in the previous podcast, the concept of including other people's names in our salat, it's a complete contradiction of the Quran. In chapter 72, verse 18, we read, the mosque belonged to God. Therefore, do not mention any other names beside the name of God. So as just to recap from all this, this has been a longer podcast than usual. But the only authentic hadith is the Quran. To uphold any other hadith is a fabrication and it's baseless. And God willing, I'm just going to end with the following verses from chapter 45, verse 6 through 11. It says, these are God's revelations that we recite to you truthfully. In which hadith other than God and his revelations do they believe? Woe to every fabricator, guilty. The one who hears God's revelations recited to him, then insists arrogantly on his way as if he never heard them. Promise him a painful retribution. When he learns anything about our revelations, he mocks them. These have incurred a shameful retribution. Awaiting them is Gehenna. Their earnings will not help them, nor the idols they had set up beside God. They have incurred a terrible retribution. This is a beacon, and those who disbelieve in these revelations of their Lord have incurred condemnation and a painful retribution. God willing, we're going to end the podcast here. As always, if you want more information, I highly recommend to read the Quran. You can find an awesome translation of the Quran at QuranAlone.com. You can also contact us at QuranTalk@gmail.com. God willing, until next time, peace and God bless.